Today's Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and can be found in page 1093 of the Bible pews and on the screens. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Janet. I want to talk this morning from Acts 2. And I want to talk about a free gift. It's a gift which is costly to the Father and the Son, but it's free to us. It's the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about, if I can, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the reason I've called the sermon 9 o'clock in the morning, because 9 o'clock in the morning is the most unexpected time for the things of God to happen. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I was reminded of a previous church that we were in, and God was moving in amazing power. People were coming to faith. All sorts of things were happening. And that was in the evening service. And I remember preaching at 9 o'clock in the morning, at the 9 o'clock service. And I was preaching in the pulpit, if you can imagine me preaching in the pulpit. I was preaching in the pulpit, and I remember that I was preaching my heart out. And as I was preaching, I was starting to shake uncontrollably. And I thought I knew what was going to happen, so I subconsciously in my head said to God, "No. No." I finished the sermon really quickly, and I came down out of the pulpit, and I sat on the front row, and a friend of ours came to pray for me because she recognised that the Spirit of God was on me and I was going to prophesy. And she came to pray for me and I told her to clear off. I actually used those words. And I said to God, "You can work at 6:30 at night, but not 9 o'clock in the morning." I said to God, you can work at 6:30 at night, but not at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to stand here and say how easy it is to put God in a box. How easy it is to tell God what he can do. And I want to stand here and I want us all to hear this really clearly. Is that God is God and we're not. God is God and we're not. And God will have his way in the church, in the community, in the nations and the world. And God is looking for willing, hungry, available, obedient people. So let's pray. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite in us your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And renew the face of the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to give you six statements with a summary of those statements. And then we're going to look at who the Holy Spirit is, what he does, how he acted in Acts 2, what he might do today, and how we might receive that free gift of the Father. Six statements. Without the Holy Spirit, Christian discipleship is inconceivable, even impossible. There is no life without the life giver, the Holy Spirit. No understanding without the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. No fellowship without the unity of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit of God who holds us, the Holy Spirit who holds us together. No Christ-likeness of character without the Holy Spirit. We cannot be made and fashioned into the likeness of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. No effective witness without the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who makes us effective in our witness. I conducted a wedding yesterday, and after the wedding ceremony, somebody actually said to me, there's an atheist in the family. We'd love you to convert them. I said, I can't do it. I can't convert anybody. That's the truth. I cannot convert anybody because without the Holy Spirit, our witness is ineffective. And the summary of those six statements is this. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church and Christians without the Spirit is dead. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church and Christians without the Holy Spirit are dead. Because we are, there's no life in us if we don't have the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to be a corpse. Not just yet. You know, it's interesting that Jesus called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What was it he called the Pharisees and Sadducees? Thank you. Whitewashed sepulchres. Why whitewashed sepulchres? Whitewashed sepulchres because that's what they used to do to the tombs. They used to whitewash the tombs so that they were pristine clean. And what he was saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees is, on the outside you look beautiful and wonderful, but inside you're dead. Inside you're dead. What a thing to say. But it was the truth. And you can hear Jesus' heart. Because even speaking to the Sadducees, and it might seem a bit hard, and the Pharisees, he was wooing them, longing for them to return to God, to be full of life. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He told his disciples, wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And the Holy Spirit was promised by the Father, promised by the Son. Jesus knew that his followers, his disciples, would be ineffective without his Spirit within us. And some people say, well, you know, that was great. And the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And it was. It was poured out on those early disciples. And it radically changed their life. But the Spirit of God is not evident today. And I guess I'm a bit cheeky. I'd want to say, well, aren't I as much a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus? Do I not need the Holy Spirit? Do I not need God's presence? And why would God, Almighty God, withhold his presence from me? Am I a second-class Christian? No, I'm not. And I'll come back to it later because the Holy Spirit is poured out on everybody. and it's for all people. So here, what does the Spirit of God look like? Well, in Acts chapter 2, there's a sound. There's a sound like a blowing of a violent wind come from heaven, and it filled the whole place. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be interesting if today, at, I can't even see my watch, 12:18, wouldn't it be interesting? I wonder what we'd feel like. Be honest with me. If the Holy Spirit blew through this place, so this place started to shake, at 20 minutes past 12, as I'm in full flow, what would you think? Wondrous. Would you? Okay, that's one end of the spectrum. I think there's another end of the spectrum which would be scared. And rightly so. Because when God shows up in power, there's a bit of fear. And there is. It's a holy fear because it's a recognition of Almighty God who He is. And I'll tell you this, Almighty God is no pussycat. And I think we've often domesticated God. It's as though we've taken His claws out and His awe. And we've made Him into a little pussycat, sorry Andy, that we just love to stroke. And bring Him out. Oh, yeah, it's God. And bring Him out. Oh, you can come now. But not 9 o'clock in the morning. Anytime when I'm ready, anytime when it's convenient to me, you can do what you like, God. So I'm not making Andy out to be God. He's not that good. But there's a sound like a blowing wind. And then they saw tongues of fire. It gets worse. No, it gets better. Imagine if you looked round and there were tongues of fire rested on everybody. I have to say, every time I read this, it takes me back to my second curacy. And my second curacy, Reg was the vicar, and it was a church similar to this, but a bit bigger. And they had four services on a Sunday, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and then 6:30. And the 6:30 was the charismatic service. And Reg, the rotter, because I didn't know anything about this stuff and didn't know, he made me lead the 6:30 service. Pardon? And then he talked about, oh, I can see the Spirit of God resting on this person. I can see this, I can see that. So in staff meeting on Monday morning, I'd say to Reg, you're talking about you can see this, that and the other. I can't see a dicky bird. I can't see a thing. And Reg was so patient and so gracious with me. And he taught me, and we looked at the Bible. And then, typical Reg, he made me lead the next three Sunday evenings. But he gave me some great advice. Because I was trying to explain everything, understand everything, try to act like God. He said, empty your head and allow God to fill it. And I've stuck with that advice for the last 24 years. Empty your head and allow God to fill it. And then we start speaking and believing the things of God. Because you can, from where I'm stood, and I'm no great shakes, but you can see the Spirit of God on people. Why? Because as Christians, whether we like it or not, believe it or not, feel it or not, we have a glow, we have a holy countenance about us. Haven't you been in the presence of somebody and you thought, oh, I wonder what it is? And it's not their aftershave or their perfume. They've got a glow about them. They've got a radiance about them. They've got a contentment about them. They've got a peace about them. And you exhibit it. But we need eyes to see it and see God at work. That's what the Holy Spirit looked like then. And I want to say this, that the Holy Spirit, because He is who He is, He's God, He manifests Himself in so many different ways. And He is beyond our understanding. And I remember being on a ministry team at a John Wimber conference many years ago. We took a team from our church. And I remember praying for this young man. He was 20-odd. And I'd never seen it before, but I started to pray for him. I just put my hand on him, and he got down on all fours and started jumping up and down on all fours. What? So I walked away. I thought, this can't be of God. He's just crazy. Sorry, that's what was going in my head. So I spoke to someone and they said, no, go back and bless what God is doing. And when he's finished, ask God what's happening. He did that for about 20 minutes. So I said to him afterwards, what was God doing? He said, God was setting me free. Who was I to deny God at work? He was being released. Okay, it looked a bit messy. But as some wise person said, I'd rather deal with the mess of the kindergarten than the order of the graveyard. I think that's quite profound. It wasn't me. I'd rather deal with the mess of children at play experiencing the work of God than the order of the graveyard. And God wants us to receive his Holy Spirit, and yes, it is a mess. It must have been a mess for his disciples. That's why there was two questions. Two questions. When the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke in other languages, other tongues. And just on that, they spoke in other languages, other tongues, so that the other people that were there could hear the good news of Jesus for the first time in their own language. What a gift to have, to be able to communicate the good news of Jesus to people who don't know him. Because I think it's a gift that we need in the church and outside the church today. How do you communicate the good news of Jesus? In a way which isn't patronizing, in a way which isn't condemning. And I've started to say to people, when you communicate the good news of Jesus, please do not talk about the church. Because everybody wants to ask us about the church. We want to talk about the church. Well, to be truthful, it's a building. This building was built in 1844. And it's a very nice church, thank you very much. But do they need to know about a church? Do they come to faith in a church? Let's get them to church. No. Let's get them saved. Then they'll come to church. But we want to talk to them about church. Oh, it's a nice church. We do this service, that service, the other service. The vicar's all right. The curate's even better. We have a great worship group. We have a great organist. And we end up talking about the church. But what about talking about Jesus? Because that's what these did. They spoke about Jesus, and the people heard him for the first time in their own language. So I'm going to pray that some of us pray for the gift of being able to communicate the good news of Jesus in a way that people can understand it. But what we might have to do as church is actually shift ourselves. Get out there. Get out there so that we can be with ordinary people. Well, we're ordinary. You know what I mean, don't you? Ordinary people. People that God wants to reach with the good news of the kingdom. And here there was two questions when all this stuff happened. Verse 12, what does this mean? Verse 13, they've had too much wine. This is the complete polar opposites. What does this mean? There were people who were really God-fearing people who were asking the question, a genuine, genuine question. What does this mean? And then you've got the flip side of those who are pointing the finger, criticising, they have had too much wine. Look at them, they're off their heads on wine. Look at them. That's what causes people to behave like this. It's wine. They've been at the wine again. I don't want us to be in a position where we stand and criticise the things of God. Yes, be interested and ask the question, what does it mean? What is God actually saying in this? Recognizing it is God and recognizing that God is bigger than us. And even in the miraculous, people want to point the finger. Well, let them. Let them. Let them. But let's go with God, because Peter, full of power, he stands up and he explains to them. He says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. God comes at the most unexpected times in the most unexpected ways. No, instead, this is a prophecy. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. This is what Jesus spoke about. This is what Jesus promised, that he would pour out his spirit on... Oh, let me just pause. I will pour out my spirit on... Now, when the Bible says all, what does it mean? Oh, it means all. Does it not mean something different? Does it not mean only the super Christians? Those who have been elevated to a higher level? Those that do whatever? Oh, no. The Bible's quite clear, quite simple. It means everybody. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will what? Prophesy. That's speaking God's word, communicating God's word. Your old men, that's me, will dream dreams. You're supposed to say, no, that's not you. I am. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. We're in these days. We are in these days. This is the ushering in of a new kingdom. The Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. And right at the end it says, and everyone, and again when it says everyone, it means everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be. So, are you saved people? Yeah, it's all right, I'm safe. I feel safe today. Yeah, it's all right being saved. It's not bad. Just waiting for something better. We're saved people, which is wonderful, which is glorious, which is amazing, because it's nothing that we've earned. It's nothing that we've done on our own behalf. It's because God so loves us that we are saved. And he loves us so much, Jesus has died for us, so we are saved. And we're a saved people. And as a saved people, we have the Holy Spirit in us. And is it conditional on how we feel? Oh, it's not. God chooses to pour his Holy Spirit in us. So all we have to do is let him out. Yeah, but you'll say to me, that's difficult, Everton. And I'll say, yes, it is. Because of our humanness, because of all sorts of rubbish. We've sung about 2 or 3 songs today about surrender. That's why I couldn't stop crying, to be honest. Because that's the key. It's about surrendered lives. And as we surrender, so we it's almost like we give God our humanness, our weakness. We give God all the rubbish, the words that have been spoken over us, all that kind of stuff, you know, the stuff that makes us feel inadequate, insecure, all those kind of things. Because in my Bible, God takes ordinary people like you and me and uses them amazingly for his glory. Sorry, I'm going to say that again. In my Bible, God takes ordinary people like you and me and uses us for his glory. Sorry, that's worth an hallelujah, I think. At least an hallelujah. Where did that come from? It was like a whisper, a ripple. Hallelujah, thank you. And it's amazing and it's brilliant and it's wonderful. And God wants to use us in the unexpected ways, and he pours out his Spirit on us. Luke 11:13 says these words, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? I'm asking. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I've done that. For all forgiveness of sins. And it says, you will, not maybe, not possibly, you will receive the gift, free gift of the Holy Spirit. So we've got him. That was very British, wasn't it? Yippee! But you'll say to me, yeah, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but I feel a bit off, and I feel a bit this, and I feel a bit that, and I leak the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you do. We all do. All we've got to do is ask to be filled again. How many people here have got a car? Now, some of you are lying, because I know some of you have, and you sat there like this. No, I haven't got a car. Don't own a car. Don't possess. I even know your registration. No, I don't. You've got cars. When you go to the petrol station, do you think about filling it up? Do you? What do you think about? Eh? A Mars bar? That's lateral thinking. Every time you fill the car up, you go and get a Mars bar, do you? Do you really? Do you really? The truth is, the car empties, we fill it up. Most of us just want to know how much it costs to fill it up, don't we? You want to know how much petrol you put in. That's what you want to know. Well, I'm telling you this, it cost Jesus his life. That's the cost. And he did it freely and willingly for us. It cost us nothing. And as we fill the car up with petrol, so we need filling up continually. Because I tell you what, when your car's empty, you don't try running it on empty, do you? Because you won't get far. We won't get far. But God wants us to get far. And it's a free gift, and it's an amazing gift. It's a gift which empowers. It's a gift which speaks to us the truth of who Jesus is. It's a gift which communicates to us how much we are loved, accepted, forgiven by the Father. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit which tells us that we're the apple of his eye, that he loves us and he can't love us any more than he loves us. It's a gift which we desperately, desperately need. Because we can't do it without him. We can't. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church and Christians without the Spirit are dead. Who feels a bit empty? Who feels like they need filling? Anybody? If you feel like you need filling, do you want to stand? Come on. Let's stop. Yeah, okay. Sorry, we're not doing this for men, so don't stand just because you think, well, you know, it's the right thing to do. Everton's encouraged us. No, this is body ministry. If you just feel that you're a bit empty, you want to be filled. That's cool. Okay. What I'm going to suggest you to do, sorry, you might need to look at me for this bit, but if I'm giving you a gift, what do you normally do? Say thank you. No, you're ahead of me. We'll do that in a minute. What do you do first? Thank you. If I'm giving you a gift, you put your hands out to receive it. Then having received it, what do you say? Thank you. Because you see, the thing is with the Bible, God has promised a gift, and it's not dependent on how we feel. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, if you're stood, to put your hands up. I know it's difficult, and I know we're British, but yeah, well, hallelujah. And then as we pray, and as we ask for the Spirit to come, I want you, you don't have to say it out loud, just to receive it and say thank you. Because that's what you do if you're receiving a gift. You'd say thank you. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who are asking? You're asking. So, Father God, wouldn't you just come by your Holy Spirit in greater measure? You're here anyway. You're here anyway, but we just want you to increase what you're doing. Just more of you. Just more of you. Just receive him. Don't put up any barriers. If there are any barriers, just dump them at the foot of the cross. If there's any objections you've got in your head, whirling around your head, just dump them. And as you dump them, so he fills you afresh. Yep, let him come. Just let him come. Yeah, if those that are near them want to just raise an arm and pray with them, that's cool. Because this is body ministry. We're encouraging. We want it. We want the Holy Spirit to come. Father, I pray that these dear people, from today onwards, would never be the same. Ever. Ever. Father, I pray that you make them mighty men and women for you. And I pray that for some of you, God would take you places that you've never even dreamed you could go. God would do the unexpected. Yeah, I know it's scary. But God's going to do it. Because God will equip you to do it. And when we rest in his arms, he takes away the fear. So, Father God, just bless these dear people as only you can. Bless them. And if I could, I'd rush round and anoint you. But I pray that you just anoint them. Just receive the anointing of the Father. Receive the affirmation of the Father. For his glory, his honour. Amen. Does everybody want to stand, please? You know how you have these crazy pictures? Well, last night I was going to do something today and I chickened out. Because it's Pentecost Sunday, but God's already done it, so it doesn't matter. I was going to get a hose pipe. I was going to get a hose pipe and I was going to connect it up. And I was,
you said at least it wasn't fire.
At least it wasn't fire. Oh, you'd rather have the fire? Well, I can set light to a few things. But I realised God was saying no, because I realised it was a symbolic thing. We needed to be showered in his Holy Spirit. That's what God was saying. We needed as a group of people to be showered in his Holy Spirit, to unite us as one, to empower us as one. And you know, I dream dreams, and maybe they're crazy dreams. But I have this dream. My name's not Martin Luther. I have this dream, and I do, of the whole of the parish of Trentham and beyond being converted to Jesus Christ. I have this dream. And I want to see it in my own lifetime with my own eyes. I want to see Stoke-on-Trent transformed. I want to see the nation transformed for God. And I know it's a dream that God has given me, because I can't shake it. And I've tried. I cannot shake it. So, Father God, would you do what only you can do? In our communities, in our families, in our town, in the nations. But Father, as we're asking you, Sovereign God, to do things, I recognize that you call us to play our part. So Father, would you take hold of each of our lives, individually and collectively, and use them amazingly for your glory. Amazingly. For your glory, your honor. Amen.